Joy Lutheran Church. It is great to have you with us this morning. We thank you for your presence on this day, and that knowing that God is always with us. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship. We are still collecting items for fire relief, such as personal hygiene items or gently used or new blankets and other winter gear. We ask that you launder these items and seal them in a plastic bag and put a label on them that's marked with fire. And you place them outside our main entrance by no later than November 15th. Again, these items are going to help victims of the fires in the Grandy area as well as Estes Park. Please email Heather Evans with any additional questions. It is hard to believe, but Thanksgiving is fast approaching, and we would like to invite you all to join us virtually for our annual Thanksgiving Eve worship service. There will not be an in-person service this year, so we ask that you gather with us in heart and mind and spirit as we give thanks for the many blessings that God has given to us. And after our service is done, we invite you to crack open a nice slice of pie, cover it in whipped cream, and join all of our brothers and sisters in Christ in a tradition that we usually have, which is to have pie after our Thanksgiving service. This year, the Evangelism Committee is organizing a drive-through live nativity this year. We're very excited about this, and we are looking for some help. Specifically, one of the things that we're hoping to include in our nativity this year that would really put it over the top is some live barn animals. So if you are somebody who has barn animals that we could use and borrow for an evening on December 13th for our live nativity scene, or if you know somebody who might be willing to lend us a few animals to use, please contact Michaela Tracy for more details. That's all the announcements I have for you this morning. We continue with our morning's worship service in the way that we always do, by the sharing of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of peace with those who are gathered with you. And during this time, remember all the brothers and sisters in Christ who are joining us in this worship service across time and space. We continue now with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Let us take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession.
Holy One, we confess that we are not awake. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of our siblings. We do not see your beautiful image in one another. We are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor. Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen.
Beloved, we are God's children, and Jesus, our beloved, opens the door to us. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. By Jesus Christ, all are welcome. In Jesus Christ, we are called to rejoice. Let us live in the promises prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen. We join together in our opening song, Morning Has Broken.
Like the first morning, black but First reading this morning is from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. In the days of Amos, people thought that the day of the Lord would be a time of great victory, but Amos announced that it would be a day of darkness, not light. He said, "Liturgy is no substitute for obedience. The Lord demands justice and righteousness in the community." The reading. "Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 70. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who seek my life be put to shame and confounded. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced. Let those who say to me, aha, and gloat over me, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, great is the Lord. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me quickly, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Some of the Thessalonians are worried that dead Christians will be excluded from the resurrection to eternal life when Christ comes again. Paul reassures them with the word of hope that all Christians, living or dead, will be raised into everlasting life with Christ. The reading. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Here end the readings.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they left to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." We turn now to our children's sermon.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Peter. Hey, how long you been sitting there?
Well, it was kind of fun watching you, but I'm not sure what you're doing.
Well, now that you're here, you could probably help me. I'm trying to get my baptismal candle lit, but I don't have any lighters or matches. I ran out, and after listening to the gospel lesson, I want to have it lit so it can stay lit all the time. And it's not working.
That'd be pretty cool if you could light it that way. But why are you trying to have it lit all the time? That seems a little unsafe, don't you think?
Well, I mean, we talk about it in our baptisms, and, you know, a couple weeks ago during confirmation, we talked about it, and it said, you know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before others. And, you know, I connected with the gospel today when, you know, the bridesmaids were trying to keep the lanterns lit, and I don't have a lantern. I don't even really know what a lantern is, but I thought of a candle. I was like, I got my candle. Let's light this thing and let's keep it lit so that I can always remember. Like, you know, if it's not lit, then it's not lit. Right?
Yeah. Well, I totally understand wanting to have the candle lit, and certainly, like, I would recommend lighting that candle on special occasions, like, you know, when the day you got baptized. That's a great way to remember. But I don't think Jesus was telling us that we have to actually keep the candle lit all the time. Because you remember in the Gospels, we hear that Jesus is the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're baptized, we are given the light of Christ and it lives within us. And so we don't actually have to have a real candle lit all the time.
Oh.
With us all the time, wherever we go, whether we have a candle or a lantern, or whether it's lit or whether it's not, the light of Christ is always with us.
Okay. All right. I get it. I mean, I think that actually makes me feel a little better, because I think you're right. Having a candle burning all the time is a little irresponsible. So it's nice. It's nice to know that the light from Jesus shines within me all the time anyway. And you too, right?
Yeah, that's right. With all of us, the light of Christ shines with all of us. And so when we gather for church, or whether we're together or whether we're apart, all these lights are shining all over the place because Christ is with us wherever we go.
That's really cool. I like that. Thanks, P.R.I. You just always know what to say to make me feel better.
Well, it's always good to work with you, Lindsay, and I'm so happy that we have these conversations.
Thanks. Yeah, me too.
Would you mind if I close this with a prayer?
I'd love that.
All right. Let us pray. Light of the world, Jesus, we give you thanks that you are with us always. We thank you for the lights that you have given to us and that lives within us, and that we don't need candles or lanterns to stay lit all the time to know that you are near. We thank you for your promise. We hope that you help us to show others that you are with them as well in their times of need and in their times of joy. No matter where we are, no matter where we go, we are never alone. And all God's people said, Amen. Whoa.
How'd that happen?
That's pretty amazing.
Good prayer. That was a good prayer. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I was a freshman in high school when I realized that I couldn't see as well as I used to. It was difficult to see the whiteboard in class. Hitting a baseball was even more of a challenge than it usually is. And I was concerned about failing my upcoming permit exam because I couldn't read the letters on the chart, with the exception of that big E at the top. And between you and me, I'll actually put it this way. It's really helpful to know that the chart starts with E, because even if you can't see that letter clearly, you can still at least get one letter right. So after weeks and weeks of trying to sort this out on my own and hoping that maybe it would just get better, I told my parents that I needed to see an eye doctor. And the eye doctor told me what I had already known to this point. I couldn't see very well. I was a little bit curious as to why this happened, and so I asked the doctor why my eyes were all of a sudden so bad. And the doctor told me that my eyes were not properly refracting light back to my retina. A freshman in high school, I don't know what that means. And so I asked him to put it in more layman's terms, and he basically said to me, "Your eyes aren't focusing on the right things." You know, with so much happening in this parable today, it's easy to get focused on the wrong things. I think ultimately we know what Jesus is wanting us to do with this parable, but how we get there is a little less clear. We know that there are 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 foolish ones. And we know that at the end, the 5 wise are admitted into the wedding banquet, while the 5 foolish are turned away. And clearly, we want to figure out, how do we become a wise bridesmaid and not a foolish one? So the question becomes, what makes one wise or what makes one foolish? And it's here that the parable really leaves it to us to sort it out. So it's interesting that the parable ends with "keep awake." We might be tempted to conclude that this is a parable about literally not falling asleep, literally staying awake. I mean, the parable ends that way, right? But how do we differentiate the wise from the foolish? Because all 10 bridesmaids, both the wise and the foolish, they all fall asleep. It seems odd that this parable would be telling us that the whole point is to not fall asleep, to be paying attention, to not give in to the tiredness we feel, when all of them fall asleep. Surely, this parable isn't about feeling sleepy or tired. But perhaps it's the oil. There is finally a difference between the wise and the foolish that we can pick up on. They may have all fallen asleep, but those wise, they brought extra flasks of oil for their lamps. And the foolish, they didn't bring any extras. Now, I was never a Boy Scout, but I certainly know enough to remember that the main thing you have to do to be a Boy Scout is be prepared. Maybe this is a parable about being prepared and taking extra measures to make sure that you and I are ready for the groom's arrival. And I think that's certainly possible. I'm not completely discounting it, but let me ask you something. When you go to a wedding, how many sets of clothing do you bring? Even if you're going to be gone for an extended weekend, 2-3 days, how many sets of clothes do you pack? Realistically, you don't need that many clothes for such a short stay, right? Maybe an outfit or 2 per day, and even 2 per day might feel a little bit excessive. But you certainly don't need to pack your suitcase to the gills for such a short stay. The reason I ask this is because in this parable, I think we can become too quickly to focus on the foolish bridesmaids not having oil. We can become too critical of them for not lugging along the extra flasks of oil. And I wonder if that's really fair. fair that they should have been expected to bring so much extra. Is this really a parable encouraging us to be over-prepared? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that's entirely the answer. So if you will, consider with me a third option. There is one final detail that separates the wise from the foolish. It's subtle. It's not quite so obvious. But upon running out of oil and being denied any of the extra by the wise bridesmaids, the foolish bridesmaids leave. They leave. They leave, and the wise ones stay. Tasked with waiting for the groom, the foolish bridesmaids leave their post, they forget their primary purpose and calling, and they leave because they, like the wise, have become convinced that the oil is the most important thing. They have run out of oil, and they rush out to get more. But the question that we should be asking is, why? Why do they leave? Why is the oil so important? What's the worst thing that can happen if we run out of oil? Will the groom suddenly not come if there are no lamps lit? Certainly not. The groom is coming whether there are lamps or not. And though the lamps cannot be lit, these bridesmaids are called to wait for the groom, whether they have lamps or not. They are called to wait, even if it gets dark. Ordinarily, the dark can be a scary thing. Ask any kid. Dark can be a scary place, except that the groom who is to come is none other than the light of the world. Their role as bridesmaids was not to make sure they had enough oil, but it was to await the arrival of the groom. Do you see? You see how easy it is to become focused on the wrong things. I know that everyone is getting tired of this COVID pandemic. The truth is it got old real fast, and it's only gotten more tiresome. And we long for some kind of return to a sense of normal. I'm with you. I feel it too. It's difficult to not be able to see family and friends as much. It's difficult to not be able to celebrate the big life events and holidays in the ways that we've become accustomed to. It's difficult to not feel completely overwhelmed and anxious and frustrated and angry and sad and tired. That we just can't seem to get back to normal. We can't worship like normal. We can't have small groups like normal. We can't gather together as a church family like normal. And it hurts. And the more it goes on, the more it feels like the lamps that we carry are flickering and fading. And we feel ourselves running out of energy and patience and oil. But what if it isn't about the oil? What if it's not about the oil? It's true that COVID has shut down a lot of ways that we carry out ministry in our congregation, but it has not shut down ministry. And that's an important difference. It has not eliminated or shut down our task, our purpose, or our calling as people of God. And the truth is that COVID never could. Our job as a church is not to keep the lamps lit, to keep programs and worship and groups running as usual. Our calling is to patiently wait and bear witness to the God who shows up, leading us into something new. Our job is to wait even as the lamps fade and the shadows close in. Our purpose is to point to the one who has promised to be with us in and through all things. Remember, Matthew began this gospel with one main point, that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus is still Emmanuel on that lonely, cold, dark night when he was born in a barn. Jesus is still Emmanuel when he was baptized by John in the river. Jesus is Emmanuel when it feels like the powers of this world are taking control. Jesus is Emmanuel in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is Emmanuel on the cross, and Jesus resurrected ensures that God is always with us. And I know that waiting isn't easy. Waiting is difficult because, contrary to popular belief, waiting is not the same as doing nothing. Waiting is active. It is full of anticipation and confidence and trust. Waiting means hope. Hope that though the dying forces of evil in this world rage, we are awaiting the presence of God. Waiting means that though the shadows lengthen and grow, light in the dawning of a new day is coming. Waiting means that we must remember our purpose and not flee. Waiting means knowing that the promise of Emmanuel still rings true today. That God is with us, even in this crazy COVID world. For the promise is not if we have everything prepared. God doesn't say, I'm only with you if you have everything ready to go. God has not promised to be with us only if we get everything back up and running. As though the only way that we could encounter God is if we have our programs going. Oh, the promise of Emmanuel is that God is with us always, even when our worship and programs have to change, even when it feels like the lamps are running low, even when we aren't quite sure what the future will look like. Emmanuel means God is always with us, even today. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not lose focus. Let us not lose focus on the one who has called us here. Let us not lose focus on our purpose. Instead, let us wait together. As a community, as a family, as people of faith, let us wait. Let us keep alert together in this uncertain time, knowing that God is here, that God is active, and that God is calling us into a future that we cannot know. We do not move into the future alone. We do not move into the future without hope. because with every changing day that passes, with everything that unsettles us and rattles the way we like to have life, we are unshaken as we wait, filled with hope that then and now and always, Christ is Emmanuel, and God is with us. Eternal and ever-present God, as the world around us changes and shifts and moves away from what we have become accustomed to. Help us to recognize your presence with us. Help us to see where you are calling us and leading us, that we may be filled with hope and assurance that you are making all things new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your peace to be upon our hearts and minds, as well as those who are in need of your care, for health and medical professionals who are working to restore health and promote safe living, for teachers and educational staff who have strived to provide nurturing classrooms and learning environments for their students, for business owners and their employees, and for people who are working or not working everywhere, that we may find rest in this stressful time. For all who have been challenged to adjust, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church on earth, O God, that we may remember our calling and our purpose here. May we keep our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, who leads us and protects us like a shepherd for the sheep. May the words and actions of Christ guide our lives until all may know of your great love for the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those whom we hold dearly in our hearts and minds this day. For Bill Johnson, Domingo Padilla, Craig Peterson, Lacey Williams, Gary Ibsen, as well as all those whom we name before you now. Strengthen them in faith and hope that they may be healed by your gracious hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we lift our prayers to you, trusting in your abounding and steadfast love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we turn to our offering. We invite you to reflect on the many blessings God has given to us and entrusted to us. And how might we be called to use these blessings, to share these gifts for the sake of the gospel and for the life of our neighbors and the world? Let us take time to reflect.
Ready for the train to come, and you don't need no ticket.
bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." So as you prepare your communion at home, take this bread. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take this cup. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Savior Jesus, strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. Through this gift, strengthen us in faith toward you and in love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace, that you are never alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing our final song.
Beloved of God, we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.